This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Any of you recall that movie? It's called Defending Your Life, I believe.
Oh, it sounds familiar.
I'd like to watch it. I remember All of Me. You remember All of Me with Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin, where she dies and her soul goes into his and he becomes her?
That would be funny.
It was. It was Steve that Martin. It was classic Steve Martin, yeah.
I remember it dimly. Now, the movie I'm talking about is from 1991. Albert Brooks was the star. And it's called Defending Your Life. And they call it comedy satire. All right? So I don't know where you'll find it. Okay?
Yeah, I'd like to look at that. That sounds interesting. But that could be very well what really does happen over there, too.
Well, of course, if you got Rip Torn to judge you. But then, you know, that led him to Men in Black.
Oh, well, that's right, yeah.
Well, then he had the movie The Sixth Sense, right, with Bruce Willis. And that's a pretty interesting show, too. What do you think of that kind of a portrayal of, are there people like that, do you think, that actually do see dead people? And, of course, I don't want to do the spoiler on the movie, but, you know, Bruce Willis plays the part of a counselor who's treating this young child who believes he sees dead people.
That was one of the first films that made M. Night Shyamalan, see I can pronounce his name properly, famous, all right? So I thought it was one of his best films. And also demonstrated that Bruce Willis, when he's given the right role, is a pretty darn good actor.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that definitely is a possibility. But honestly, what I thought was more closely to what really does happen, I think, is... Did you guys ever see the movie The Others with Nicole Kidman?
I don't recall it at the moment. Just give us a brief synopsis.
Basically, she's a mother in Britain, and during the World War I, and her husband gets killed in the war, and they live in a house and everything. And so, basically, the premise is you think that that's their house, but in the end, you find out that they're the ghosts.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of think...
twist in the plot.
Right. So in my opinion, I think honestly that could be what goes on is we're their ghosts. Like right now I'm sitting here in somebody's seat and they're wondering who the hell is in my seat because maybe I'm their ghost.
Well, that goes back to the multiple reality thing too.
Right.
That if we're drifting in and out of realities and we're not aware of it, you know, we just go through our business. But somebody else looks at us and says, oh, my God, what is that? Which, of course, is what people have said about me for a long time.
I don't think you're alone there, Gene. It's no wonder that you're into the paranormal here. I mean, those are interesting questions, though, because it really makes this question, well, what is reality then? How do we know we are not dead?
Right, exactly. Right. And I think somebody on another show once said this, and I thought that was funny. It was so simplistic, but it was true. As I guess we'll find out when we get there.
Unless we don't know we're there.
Right, exactly. And you know, I've actually thought of that, and I know that sounds kind of weird, but I've actually thought that, like, just walking around, like, what if I didn't survive my heart attack? What if I am dead right now? What if I'm going through all these things and I really am dead and this is my reality and I don't even know it?
We are your worst nightmare.
Bizarre. That would mean that I'm not real either. That would mean that Gene's not real, that we have some other version of us in some other realm. Right?
Exactly. We all have Bizarro Superman, you know? We have Bizarro Gene, Bizarro Randall, and Bizarro Kevin, you know?
Well, okay.
Throw in a Mixel Plague, and we've got, you know, super friends, right?
Oh, God. What I was getting at earlier, though, with this spirit rescue thing is, I mean, if you look up spirit rescue now on Google, there's all kinds of this going on. There's these people who believe that they're out there doing this sort of psychic social work to help people transition from this mid realm off into their fuller afterlife. And so we had Stephen Williams on from Memphis Spirit Rescue.
I heard him on another podcast a couple days ago. Very interesting.
Yeah. You know, I was just kind of wondering what your take is on that. And so do you think this is just some kind of I don't want to offend any psychics out there, but do you think that people are just getting into this because it's sort of it's the thing to do, or is there something to it?
You know, honestly, I think there may be something to this. However, I think, unfortunately, because we have those dreaded shows where, you know, the D word is thrown around and that's got to be a demon and that's got to be this, you know, and again, I'm not taking anything away from people that are doing that, but in my mind, I'm smart enough to know, okay, well, you need ratings to survive, so you're going to throw that rock over there and it's going to hit that. I'm not saying that things don't happen, but I know that what you see on TV 9 times out of 10 never really happens anyway, because that's just not – that doesn't how these things work. So I think that there's validity to that, because I think certain people have to be, because I think, again, you keep your personality when you pass. And if you're a bad person in life, you're going to be a bad person in the afterlife, and that you may get stuck here because you're trying to make amends for what you've done. And if that's the case, well, you're going to have they're going to kind of block you from coming over. They're just like, hey, you're not, you know, you need to go back down there and smarten up a little bit. So I think there is validity to that, but also I think that in some cases they choose, again, they have free will. I mean, you know, if you die in a house that you lived in for 50 years, that's all you know. Well, you don't want to go anywhere because this is my house. I want to stay here. I think that's what happens. And in some of my experiences, I know that's happened because I've had the previous owner in that house messing with me because that was their house. And I found that out later that they just didn't want to leave.
Well, tell us a little bit more about these experiences in a little more detail.
Sure. When I was in college, I went to a college in Pennsylvania where I graduated from Waynesburg University in southwestern Pennsylvania. It's about 30 miles west or east of Morgantown, where WVU is, and about 50 miles south of Pittsburgh. So when I was a junior, I had a roommate in another house that we decided to move, and he had a friend who had a little house on the edge of town, and he said, hey, Kevin, you want to come in with me, and we'll, you know, live together again? I said, yeah, sure, why not? So we moved into this place, and we had a lot of experiences, like, you know, immediately we had, like, doors opening when nobody was there, doors closing, people, like, sounds of people walking in the house, just you know, cabinets opening and closing. And he was a bartender, so he wasn't home till about 3, 4, 5 in the morning, so I was usually by myself. And this went on a lot. And one day we found ourselves sitting together in the living room, and he turned to me, he says, Kevin, he said, you ever hear weird stuff in this house when you're not here? Or when I'm not here? And I about fell off the couch because I was like, finally, oh my God, I'm not the only one who's hearing these things. So we sat there for the next hour comparing notes. And we were hearing the same things when we were in there. So that was really interesting. So Cheryl, who's in the book, she was my girlfriend. She was a psychic. And I told her to come over. I said, hey, can you shed any light on this? What's going on here? Well, she made contact with the former owner of the house and said, you know, he's just checking up on you to make sure you guys are going to take care of his house. He really loved it here and everything. So she gave me the name, and I actually looked up the name in the records, and he really did exist. So I knew she was the real deal. He was there, and I found him, and he lived in the house. But once basically that it was told to him that, hey, we're okay, we're going to, you know, we're not going to destroy his house, he settled down and calmed down, and whether he left or not, he never bothered us again. We weren't there for maybe another 2 months, but yeah, and that was that story with that one.
Okay.
Yeah, he definitely did.
Hang on here. You're saying that your girlfriend, Cheryl, was a psychic, or is a psychic, who identified a former homeowner, deceased, by name.
Let's do a break here and get into more of Randall's question and its implications. Kevin Killen. We're talking about ghosts. More to come with Gene and Randall. And, of course, Kevin, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Hi, Bill Hyde here for Safe Places USA. If you're thinking it might be finally time to move out of a dangerous urban area to a safer place before things get worse, pay close attention. Because the feeling in your gut, the one telling you to get out, could save your life. Here's why. You can now find out where the safest places in this country are by going to SafePlacesUSA.com and checking out the Ultimate Relocation Manual. It's your personal guide to the tips, tricks, and techniques for relocating your family to the safest places in America. All broken down in 15 strategic, critical categories along with checklists and preparation sources. So if you want a clear path to getting out of Dodge, go to SafePlacesUSA.com. That's SafePlacesUSA.com. Use coupon code GCN and get half off the manual all this week. Plus, get the following books free with your Ultimate Relocation Manual. Pandemic Survival Secrets. Your Home, Your Fortress. All free this week at SafePlacesUSA.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we continue, and Randall has a question expanding on what Kevin said about his girlfriend. Kevin, is this your girlfriend now, or she was your girlfriend?
No, she was my girlfriend. No, I'm still in contact with her. We're still good friends, though, but yeah.
Right.
She's an ex.
You were, You were saying, though, that she identified the former homeowner who was deceased by name without knowing who this was. Did I pick that up right?
Yes, absolutely.
And then you went and checked into it. Okay, so how do we explain that exactly? I mean, is this just a lucky guess? Like, you know, was his name Bob or something? Or
It was actually George.
Okay, that's a fairly common name, so...
Yeah.
I guess it could be a good guess, but still, it kind of raises an eyebrow.
Yeah. A lot of the experiences that I had in Pennsylvania were through her, and I explained that in the book. She was a very gifted psychic, and she was also a practicing witch. So she had a lot of stuff going on. But, yeah, she was good. And the reason that I tell you that she was good, I don't know if you're familiar with remote viewing at all.
Some.
Okay, so when I started first getting to know her before, we were kind of like in the early stages of dating, I guess you want to say. I was in my house in Virginia, and she was in her house in Pennsylvania, and she started describing things in my room that she'd never been there. And again, back then, we didn't have cell phones. I couldn't send her a picture or anything, but she started describing things about my home that were minute, like little details, like there was like a rose bush on the corner of this over here, and there was a certain thing over here, you know, and I was just like, and there's no way she could have known these things. That's how it was throughout our relationship. She was just, that's how she was. She was really good like that. Like, she would tell you things, and she would freak people out all the time.
Very interesting. Do you network with any other psychic people or ghost hunters or groups down there?
Unfortunately, I think COVID has really kind of put the kibosh in a lot of stuff. I've reached out to a number of groups because, honestly, I've never been on an official ghost investigation, if you will. Everything that I've done for the book, I've done by myself or with other people, but never on an official one. And I've always wanted to go on one just to kind of observe and see what I pick up compared to what they do. So I've reached out to a couple of them, and they've never gotten back to me. I would love that. And I'm always asking readers or paranormal enthusiasts to contact me just to chat about any of this stuff, because that's one thing I really love to do. And unfortunately, I really don't get a lot of responses, but I would love to have people pick each other's brains about this, because, again, this is a passion of mine, obviously, and I think a lot of people who experience this have a lot of questions, such as I do.
If you were to say just off the top of your head over the years, about, you know, how many people do you think you've talked to who have had one of these extraordinary type of experiences?
I would say hundreds, easy. It would number in the hundreds.
Is there a common theme?
You know, honestly, not that I've noticed. It's basically, it could be almost anything. And again, where I live here in Northern Virginia, it's a very old area, you know, with Mount Vernon. I actually live like 3 miles down the road from Mount Vernon. D.C. is right down the road also. It's a very old area. So we have housing developments built all over the place that are probably like, you know, Civil War battlefields and cemeteries and things like that. Yeah, we've had different ones. And honestly, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the Bunny Man?
No. Tell us about it.
Okay. The Bunny Man is an urban legend that actually takes place down this way. And I actually did not hear about the Bunny Man until about 7-8 years ago. And I grew up around here, never heard about it, but apparently it's really popular. Anyway, the story goes is that a couple were out near a railroad trestle here in Fairfax County in a place called Clifton, and a man in a bunny suit came out and started screaming at them and threw a hatchet at their car. And, of course, you know, this is in the early 70s, and you're going to get scared. So they, you know, drove away, and they actually had the Washington Post come out there, because there was actually a couple incidents of this alleged occurrence to happen out there. So then all of a sudden people were talking about that was a serial killer, and that there was, like, pieces of rabbits, like, being, you know, chopped up and thrown all over the place, that was there, and, you know, in this area. And one of the legends go that he was an escaped person from a mental hospital. However, through research, people have debunked that there's never been a mental hospital out there. But this occurrence allegedly did happen. So what happens is people go there all the time. And this place is pretty creepy. It's a trestle. It's a railroad trestle. You can't get to anymore because so many people have gone to it to see if this Bunny Man legend is real, that the cops have closed it off here. Huh. I have never been out there, and I'm not too far from it. But, yeah, so that's like the what we're kind of famous for in Fairfax County is the Bunny Man legend.
I wonder if that's where Echo and the Bunny Man got their name. Like, you know, what's Bunny Man? What the heck is a Bunny Man?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That is really Moon, that was a great movie, a great song, Killing Moon.
Well, I mean, rabbits are kind of weird anyway. There's a whole lore, and there is even a religion around rabbits.
Yeah.
It's oh, so. Yeah. Yeah, and I had a pretty wild experience with what seemed like a rather large, almond-shaped-eyed talking rabbit when I was just a child. You know, these weird things seem to happen to kids. Have you noticed that as well? Like, kids seem to be more open to this whole idea of imaginary friends or maybe not-so-imaginary friends.
Yeah, and I think what it boils down to with that is the innocence of the child, because they have not been stained by the adult world, so to speak. So their mind can filter more purely than most. And again, I think back to, and I never had this, but I know a lot of people, you know, friends who had imaginary friends and kids who did, you know, and every once in a while you'll hear, oh, that's nice. Well, what's his name? Oh, well, her name's Amanda and this is what she looks like, but she has a boo-boo on her head. And then they'll find out, oh my God, that's the girl that got the hatchet in the head 3 years ago. And there's no way that this kid could be seeing her. So there's a lot of that goes on there. And I think, again, they find it easier to communicate with children through that, because it's just, I think, the innocence of that with them, with their pure of the mind, spirits are attracted to that.
You see, one of the things that always occurs to me here is that children very likely have all sorts of interesting abilities. But we hear our kids and we say, they're just being children. They're imagining that friend. They're imagining what they see. It's not real. And they'll grow out of it. And we're sure to show them that it's not acceptable to see this. So we train them or force them or brainwash them out of abilities that they have. But maybe if we'd let them develop those abilities and try to accept it or tolerate it, maybe things would be different with our kids. Who knows? Now, apropos of nothing, what occurs to me is I did have, I guess, a sort of imaginary friend when I was very young that may or may not have been the sound of rain droplets. More to come with Kevin Killen, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNhemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
More than 68,000 new coronavirus cases were reported on Friday in the United States, which broke the country's record for a third consecutive day. Utah, Georgia, Montana, North Carolina, Iowa, and Ohio all hit new high coronavirus highs on Friday. Much of the United States, from the Gulf Coast to the desert Southwest, is under some form of heat warning this weekend. Temperatures are expected to reach a record high of 106 degrees in Dallas. Meanwhile, cities further west could see temperatures hit 120 degrees. Dr. Diane Hess has some ways to keep you cool while the temperatures remain hot.
Don't really need, many people turn to those hydration drinks like a Gatorade or an electrolyte drink. Water is fine. It's nicer if it's cool because then it does cool the core body temperature, like if you have cool fluids in you.
You're listening to USA Radio News. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says a second round of stimulus checks should be included in a new coronavirus relief package. Mnuchin also tells CNBC regarding unemployment insurance being extended again, he doesn't want to see folks get more than they would get if they were working.
You can assume that it'll be no more than 100%. So, yes, we want to incent people to go back to work. And even at 100%, if people have jobs, we want them to go back to work. So enhanced unemployment is intended for people who don't have jobs and particularly industries that are harder to rebound. So we will not be doing it in the same way. And we're in a dramatically different situation. Many businesses are open. Many businesses want to hire more people today.
President Trump is denying a request from Minnesota's governor for money to rebuild parts of Minneapolis that were destroyed during riots and looting following the death of George Floyd. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So many strange things happen when we're children and they kind of sort of fade away. Is that because we brainwash them out of those abilities, Kevin?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that going on. Again, because, you know, as you grow up there, you always hear there's no such thing. There's no such thing. So I think that does occur a lot. It's kind of, you know, and unfortunately that this kind of ties into it, I think, a little bit. It's the conditioning. We get taught at an early age, don't touch the hot stove because your fingers will get burned. So if you get told enough that there's no such thing, we know not to bring those things up. Or at the very worst, if you have really bad parents that like to yell at you or maybe even hit you because you bring these things up, of course you're going to think twice about bringing stuff like that up, even though it happened. And I've heard this on reading some other people's books that have written about this. Some of these mediums and psychics who have had experiences as children, you know, these ghosts visiting them in their beds and getting so scared that, you know, they don't know what's going on. And their parents are just, you know, like, oh, don't talk about that. That doesn't happen. You know, they don't want to be ostracized in the community. So they tell their kids to stop doing that. So I think there's a lot of this conditioning. So by the time they're 6, 7, 8 and developing more of a personality, things go away. It's kind of like, gosh, what was that movie? It was named Fred. Drop Dead Fred. You remember that movie?
Haven't seen that one, but give us a quick synopsis.
It was basically Phoebe Cates, the girl from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That was her imaginary friend. So when she stopped believing, he went away is kind of the premise. But that's kind of where I think is that, you know, because, you know, you're conditioned to stop believing and seeing these things. But some people are so gifted that it doesn't matter. They're going to see these things forever. That's their thing, but unfortunately, that's where they have to hide it from other people. And again, like I said, those are kind of the people I was reaching out to with this book, is to say, hey, you know, don't be scared. You know, we all see these things, or I do, and this is what you can relate to me. And I think that happens more often than not, but it's actually coming to the forefront now, because, again, this is coming out in the mainstream a little bit.
Well, this just reminded me of another, Gene, you'll probably, you guys both probably remember this one, because we were just talking about rabbits and invisible friends. And what is the definitive movie on invisible rabbit friends?
Harvey.
Harvey, of course.
He's a kooka.
James Stewart. Yeah.
Yes, he's an Irish, what was it, kind of a leprechaun type thing from Irish folklore, a pooka.
Except in this case, he was like a 6-foot invisible rabbit.
Yes.
Invisible rabbit friend. Love Jimmy Stewart. Really. But, okay, so all this is fine, right? I think we can recognize that people are having experiences. But there are questions that make critical thinkers question the nature of paranormal experiences. Now, there's a difference between, say, critical thinking and being a skeptic, okay? Skeptics will just, they're just doubters. They will just go, well, I really doubt that. And it doesn't matter what you say to them, they're going to doubt that too. But then there's people who think about it a little bit more critically. They don't necessarily write it off. They recognize, well, okay, for some people, these experiences are perfectly real. But what does that say then about the nature of the phenomenon? And so there are a couple of odd things about hauntings and ghosts. For example, when people go into this afterworld, they don't seem to age anymore. So you'll have these kids that have haunted the house dressed in the same clothes from the 1800s who haven't aged at all. Right? Like, what kind of person never ages? So whatever universe this is, or whatever they are, I mean, can they really be the same people if they don't age anymore?
Yeah, then that's a really good question. And That does beg the question, because I was actually listening to another show last year, and they had a gentleman on there. I can't remember his name, but he wrote a book. It was basically about how quantum physics applies to all of this. And the one thing he brought up is what a lot of people bring up that are skeptics, and it does make sense because it makes you think, is, okay, if you die and this is your spirit, if you have no vocal cords, how can you talk? That's a good question.
Right, and like you have the the ghetto blaster with the microphones, and I had one of those too. And actually, some of those old ghetto blasters, they had stereo microphones, two of them, and they could pick up pretty good. I used to use it just to practice with when I was learning guitar, and you could get a pretty good sound out of some of those things. So a microphone, we know how they work, at least, I guess it depends on which type it is, whether it's a condenser or a moving coil, right? But if it's a moving coil, you have to have air pressure to move the diaphragm.
Right.
Which means it's physical and it's in our universe. So there's this way that these beings, whatever they are, they're not in some other universe. If they can affect this universe, they have to be in this universe too. They have to be right here somehow and able to do it.
Exactly. And one thing I wanted to bring up, too, is I've been noticing this, and I'm sure you guys have noticed this as well, because I've heard other people talk about this. Have you noticed lately in the last, I don't know, 6-7 months, that the media will report on UFO sightings or ghostly sightings or paranormal phenomena that are reporting this, whereas before – they didn't, and the thing that I brought up, because I was reading, I was thinking, okay, they're going to ridicule, so they're writing it as a news story. And I'm like, wow, they never did that. They do that, and then at the end, they ridicule, usually the subject, or they slant it in a tone where it was like, okay, yeah, that really happened. But they're actually treating them as news stories, and that's fascinating to me, because it's like, okay, what's really happening now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that we've definitely, Gene and I have both noticed that, especially with respect to alien visitation and UFOs. Although, they're kind of fudging it a little bit with this whole UAP thing, which if you get right down into it and dig up definitions of those terms, when you're in the military, you're actually talking about two completely separate things. But the people who are in ufology, they'll go, oh, no, we're talking about UFOs. Well, wait a minute. Are you or aren't you? So how do we really know what we're talking about? Are we talking about, you know, foreign military exotic aircraft? Or are we talking about something from another solar system or another universe?
Yeah, and that's another thing that's really fascinating to me, what's really out there. I mean, you know, for Star Trek fans, I mean, there's, you know, all sorts of stuff out there. But I actually thought about that. Like, I don't know, have you guys seen that? I'm sure you guys have seen the Arizona UFO incident from the 90s, correct?
The Phoenix Lights. Well, yes. Here's something which I should say in a sad fashion. I moved to Arizona in 1993, so obviously I should have seen it. I was busy writing books on technology, and I had to really churn these out. The books you see like Max for Dummies or any of those things, these are assembly line books. They give you like 2 months or a month to write a 300 or 400 page book. That means you've got to write a chapter a day, something like that. Really, really, really push it. And so I was pushing it, and I was paying very, very little attention to reports in the press or reports on TV about UFOs and about the Phoenix Lights. But evidently there were two instances there where we had flares put up by, what, a military base or something, and something that may or may not have been real. What is real is that we're talking to Kevin Killen, who currently at his workplace has reports of weird things going on. You wonder, hey, would he really want to work in a place like that? I don't know if I would. I think I might look for another job. Maybe this is going to feed your second book, Kevin. Got more to come with Gene, Kevin, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Classic science fiction at its best. Available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I think Randall was being taken over by something, right, Randall?
What was that? If you say so. You know, to me, everything was just perfectly normal here. Normal day, sunny day, nice day here in Calgary. Kevin?
Yes.
We want to get more into some of these experiences that you've been having at your workplace and recently as we get into After the Paracast. Gene, what time do we put the After the Paracast up for people to be able to access?
Okay, for those of you who are not members, subscribers to the Paracast Plus, it is a special subscription service where we give you a version of the show free of the network ads, and we give you the After the Paracast podcast, and we put it up Sunday morning around the same time that the main episode of the show goes up. So we're talking about roughly 4:30 to 5 o'clock Arizona time every week without exception. I have to get up in the morning and manually do this. Manual labor. I don't have Siri doing it. Siri's not smart enough.
On today's show, what we're doing is we're building up to the present day with Kevin Killen about his experiences with ghosts throughout his life. Now, what sort of interesting experiences have you had then as we are getting closer to the present day? When you were going through college, just before you started actually entering the workforce, were you still experiencing it then? Or were there some times when just nothing happened?
Yeah, I found that this is cyclical at times. But honestly, it's been pretty continuous for me. And again, I kind of chronologically go through that in the book. The most experience that I usually had in college was the haunted house I just spoke with when Cheryl found the, you know, the owner and everything. That was probably some of the best that happened in college. But my school was very old. It was founded in the 1850s. And one thing that I've touched upon in the book, because I actually talked to another gentleman who wrote a book about weird things that happened in that county around the same time that my book came out. So we were kind of comparing notes and everything. But the one thing that we both thought was interesting, I didn't write anything that he wrote, which I found kind of head-scratching, that he had all these other things going on that I didn't even touch upon because I had no idea that that happened out there. But anyway, officials at the school wouldn't talk to us. They'd blow when I would try to say, hey, there any activity around here? They, you know, there's nothing going on here. Or no, I haven't heard anything. And then come to find out that, you know, I have friends in a certain dorm room that'll tell me, oh, yeah, this happened to me over here, and this happened, I saw this. And it had a really cool cemetery that actually abutted to one of the residence halls. So, I mean, my goodness, it's like a playground for them, because they're like, oh, wow, hey, look at this building. You know, there's like 10 feet between the last headstone and the wall of the dorm room. So there's a lot of things that went on there, but they wouldn't talk to us, the administration. And apparently that's something that happens at all schools. And I get that, because they don't want to get that out. People, you know, oh, I'm not going to go to that school, it's haunted. I understand that. There's that stigma of doing that.
Unless you're Kevin Killen, who is going, I want to go to that school. That's the one for me.
Well, exactly. Know? And I say that in the book, is that honestly, because I wanted to become a writer, the backdrop of that cemetery was so cool that honestly was one of the reasons I attended that school, is because the cemetery was so cool looking, and it had all these great mausoleums and everything, that was really one. And I, you know, and again, people think I'm nuts, and I tell them, I said, no, they had a good writing program and a cool cemetery. So, you know, I wrote a couple in my creative writing courses, you know, with the backdrop of the cemetery. But yeah, that was part of it. But that was about it in college. But it continued throughout the, when I got in the workforce, I actually moved back to Virginia, and I lived in the Shenandoah Valley, which was rife with Civil War history. And I had some experiences here where we heard phantom music being played. I heard Dixie being played at 3 o'clock in the morning when it shouldn't be. I heard cannons going off at 3 o'clock in the morning that shouldn't have been going off. Just things like that. And again, Winchester is very old. It's a very old city, and it's got its own really unique energy. And I worked in a building as a journalist that was probably, I think it was 110 years old. I don't remember really having any experiences there. It was just a really old building. But, yeah, Winchester, Virginia was really, really interesting with the Civil War stuff. And that was what most of the experiences were, had to deal with that.
This is kind of an interesting thing. Like, okay, there's, when it comes to hauntings, there's haunted churches, houses, boats, cemeteries, schools, airplanes, like the ghost of Flight 401, right? I mean, we've heard of that sort of thing. What about, has anyone ever talked about like a haunted car, or, you know, a haunted Winnebago or something, like Christine or something like that, you know? Like,
well, yeah, actually, I had an 86 Ford Thunderbird that we called Christine because it didn't like women. So any females, including my mother, it would somehow hurt. And this is like crazy, because every female that got into that car, they'd get hurt somehow on the door or something with that. So we started calling it Christine. And I ended up selling it to a friend of my girlfriend's. And he came knocking on the door one time, and he had my license plates. And he said, here, Kevin, I don't know if I'm going to take that car. I said, what happened? He said, well, I was going around this curb. I wasn't even going that fast. And all of a sudden, it was like the steering wheel came out of my hand, and I wrecked it. I said, what do you mean? He said, Kevin, something jerked that wheel right out of my hand and took me off the road. I swear to God. And he was shaking. And I was like, I looked at the license plate. I said, they always come back.
This raises the question whether machines in some ways have personalities, like a car. You want the car to really behave and not break down? Give it some love. Tap on it. Things like that really show you appreciate what the machine is doing for you. And you think, it's just metal. It's just plastic. It's just fabric, leather, whatever it's made of. It's not alive. But sometimes the machines you use do have personalities. And some people, as I said, this we can do a whole show about, some people just never seem to be able to work with machines. The machines are always doing something that is in opposition to their needs, something that just makes them go crazy. Oh, my God, that thing never works right. Siri doesn't listen to me when I try to set an alarm on it. She just ignores me, and I have to repeat it 10 times. I won't mention who has that problem. Other people, nah. It's fine. It behaves itself. I'm not going to say anything about my machines, folks, because maybe I will be superstitious, and those machines will say, we're going to show that Steinberg guy something. Okay. Kevin, we can go on, and we're going to go on and after the Paracast, but tell our listeners where they can find more of your stuff.
Yes, they can find it at Amazon.com. They can find it at OzarkMountain.com. That's my publishing company. Walmart.com, BarnesandNoble.com, anywhere that they can buy books. And also, if any of your listeners would like to chat with me about paranormal things or addiction things or just anything in general, they can reach me at KKILLENBT, KKILLENBT, at gmail.com, or they can hit me up on Instagram at Irish, I-R-I-S-H, Kev, K-E-V, 7147. So they can reach me at either one of those places, and definitely feel free to reach out to me. I love talking to people.
You can reach us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. You can find us on Facebook if you look for the Paracast Fan Club or the Paracast Community or whatever the heck it's called. You can find some branded merchandise for the Paracast if you go to theparacast.shop. We have four different logos, T-shirts and jackets and throw pillows and good stuff. Go to theparacast.shop. We also have the Paracast Plus, where we offer you the version of this show with enhanced audio free of the network ads, and the After the Paracast podcast, which can be color commentary, special interviews, sometimes continuations of our main interview, and Kevin's going to be back because there's so much more to talk about with him. Maybe we'll talk about friendly and unfriendly machines and whether your Mustang should be shown the love or otherwise it will show what it thinks of you for being nasty, huh? For more information about the Paracast Plus, go to theparacast.plus. That's theparacast.plus. Kevin Killen, I just think we only got started one more time. Thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you for having me, guys. I appreciate it, and I had a blast, as always.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe. If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless. Yeah. Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.